A disability advocate has called out the federal government after another campaigner, Shane Hirohak, was unable to access Disability Minister Mark Butler's Port Adelaide office. Jasmine Scriven, founder of Babes with Mobility Aids, says the incident highlights the gap between political talk on inclusion and the everyday reality of inaccessibility. I asked Jasmine what went through her mind when she first heard that a disability advocate couldn't even get into the disability minister's office.
Look, I would say that I was surprised, but to be honest, I wasn't really. I think just knowing where our government is at the moment with disability reform in general, with, you know, the NDIS changes, I think knowing all of that kind of made it not so surprising that this was something that we had to deal with. But it is, at the same time, very disappointing.
You've mentioned heritage buildings are often used as like an excuse. What should the government do when a building design kind of limits accessibility?
Well, in this case, I believe that the office is rented, so it should be of the utmost priority to find a different building, the one that is more accessible and meets the needs of these constituents. Because I think, you know, I understand previously that this has been his office since before he was appointed as the disability minister. So, you know, I can understand why perhaps it wasn't as big of a priority previously, but now that he's taken on this role and he's representing us as a community, I think it needs to be much more of a priority to either move offices or make the efforts to make the existing space accessible.
How common are situations like this for people with disability?
Very common. I think people who do not have lived experience don't necessarily understand what true accessibility looks like. I think, you know, the general understanding is a step-free entrance, and it doesn't really go much further than that. But I think, you know, what needs to perhaps be made more, increasing awareness around it is that accessibility is much more, it's much more deep than that. We've got, you know, we need to be able to move independently without the help of others through a space in order for it to be fully accessible. So for that, you know, if we're looking at things like even stair lifts in shops, they're not necessarily fully accessible because you have to get the help of someone else to operate it. It's considering all the different things that make accessibility, you know, what it is. So, for example, if I went into a clothing shop and yes, I could get through the door and that, you know, that part's accessible, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I can actually, you know, navigate through the aisles independently. They might be too narrow. There might not be enough turning space for me. I think they're, you know, it's a very common thing that we experience. I think we all take the label of accessible with a grain of salt because it's very rare that a space is actually fully accessible.
What message does it send to people with disability when government workplaces fail like basic accessibility standards?
Well, I think in this case, it just shows us that this, you know, how are we supposed to trust that this person is making decisions that are at our best interests as disabled people when accessibility isn't a priority even within their own space and their own office? I think it's frustrating for us as a community, you know, knowing that we often get left behind in different circumstances, and, you know, other politicians may not be as well-versed in the disability space and the accessibility space, but the fact that it's the disability minister who does not see this as a priority and is not making, you know, obvious steps towards making his office more accessible to the constituents that he serves, I think, unfortunately, you know, it says a lot about perhaps where his priorities are and whether he has our best interests at heart.
Speaking about politicians, what does leadership on accessibility look like to you?
It looks like, centering disabled voices. I think so often decisions are made without us, and they're made without proper consultation, and they're made based on assumptions that, you know, I think that this is what needs to happen because that's my understanding of disability, but without actually speaking to the people that it affects. I think that there needs to be much more consultation in all areas of disability and government with the people that it actually affects. We see it a lot with the NDIS at the moment. They're making a lot of changes that the vast majority of disabled people are not in support of. And, you know, it shows that if they were actually consulting with our communities in these decisions that they're making that impact our lives, that, you know, we wouldn't have such massive issues and, you know, such massive uproar from our community based on some of these decisions. I think, you know, it's that whole thing, nothing about us without us. We need to make sure that, you know, we have a seat at those tables, and, you know, we can't have a seat at those tables if the office isn't accessible. I think it's important that we recognise that this is just one sort of small part of a much bigger issue in this country, and I think it's important that we continue to raise awareness of, you know, what accessibility looks like, how that manifests in different areas, but also, you know, how we can address it and how we can include disabled people in the conversation.
That was Jasmine Sreevan, founder of Babes with Mobility Aid and disability advocate, speaking to The Wire.